Good morning. Our scripture reading can be found today on page 706 in your pew Bibles. The reading's from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Maybe I should say bonjour. I did some Spanish, but a few centuries ago. And if no practice, all I can say is buenos dias. My wife, Alfonsina, and I, we are very glad to be here this morning and share what God is doing. Because the Trivoli Church, for several years now, agreed to partner with us by supporting us in prayer and also financially. And everything we will share here, it is just a small part of what God is doing, because we are partnering together. Maybe I would like to start just by showing you the picture of the family. You see someone has this hat. Our daughter Miriam, who is 22, graduated just a few days ago on the 13th of December. She had a BA in business. And then in the background we have Caris. He's 17. And then the youngest, Eliel, is 9. And then you have my wife and myself. And we are very grateful for helping us to do what God asks us to do. With your support. I would like just to very briefly tell you my story. I know that for several years now, what is happening in the Islamic world is some Christians are scared. Some of them, there are all kind of behavior when we hear Muslim, Islam. But what I would like to tell you this morning is that when we read the scripture, we see that God has a plan for Muslims. When you read Isaiah 11, it is clear that God said that at the end, we will have the descendants of Ishmael around the throne. And this is happening. The newspapers are not talking about that. But there are more and more Muslims coming to Christ. We have team like in Syria, working in the camps, and the number of Muslims coming to Christ is huge. I was a Muslim myself. I was born in a Fulani family. You don't know the Fulani. Those who know the Fulani in Africa, the Fulani used to say, to be a Fulani is to be a Muslim. And I grew up with that idea. Until when I was in university, a few days after I discussed with a Christian, and he gave me some book to read, I was struggling with some of the things that I read, and I was asking questions. at the mosque where I used to go, and the elders in the mosque became mad at me because I was asking some questions. So I decided that, okay, to be a Fulani is to be a Muslim. So if God allow me to come on this earth being a Fulani, so what God wanted for me is to be a Muslim. So I decided, okay, I will stop asking questions. I'm a Muslim. This is what God wants for me. Until one morning, it was during the Ramadan time. You know the Ramadan? When Muslim fast? Early in the morning, I woke up to try to warm the rest of the food and eat and then fast during the day. I came in the living room and suddenly it was like someone was in the living room telling me that everything I was doing as a Muslim was nothing before God. And if I die in that, I will go to hell. I heard that voice. And then I looked around, I was alone. So I just decided to kind of fight that voice, to push it away. And then it changed. And what I was hearing now was, okay, let me say it in French. Je suis le chemin, la vérité et la vie. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I heard that voice repeating several times. And then I asked myself, okay, what is this? I'm alone in the living room. Windows, door are closed. I'm hearing a voice. And then I started thinking about the words in that voice. And I realized that this is coming from the Christian book, the Bible. And it is Jesus who was saying that. This is when I realized that, something is happening here. So again, I decided to push that voice away. But when I tried to do that, it becomes stronger. And then I don't know how many minutes I spent fighting that voice, but I decided just to, I just standed there and I said, okay, I accept. And when I said that, the voice stopped. And then I was standing there still to see if something else will happen. But what was happening was just, I was being filled with joy. I was alone early in the morning. I wanted to jump, to shout. In such a way that I thought I was becoming crazy. Because there were no reason to be so full of joy. A few days after that, I went to meet with the pastor I talked to a few days before. And then he took some time and explained to me what happened. That if I want to be with God now and when I die, I should follow Jesus. And this is how the Lord brought me to him. And this was in 1987. And 1989, my wife and I, we started serving the Lord. We were not married yet, but we were engaged and in the process to be married. And what God has called us to do is to make disciples. When I became Christian, after a few weeks, a question came in my mind. And the question was, now I'm a Christian, so what? What is next? I was studying physics and chemistry at university. So I said, okay, maybe I will finish, get a job, try to make a lot of money, and so on and so on. And when I was reflecting on what is next, this is when God used something that happened in my life when I was a child. You know, I was risen with the stick. When I do something wrong at home, my father will catch me and I will spend a few hours, very difficult hours. And one day he asked me to do something and I didn't do it until he came back home and I knew that I was in trouble. But he managed to grab me and started beating me. And I also managed to take off my hand and I ran out. And I went to one of his best friends, crying. And then he said, "What is happening?" I said, "My father is beating me." "What did you do?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Your father is not crazy to beat you if you didn't do anything. Explain what happened." So I explained. And then he said, "Wait me here. I will go and see your father and come back." He went, he came back, and then he said, "Okay, I have talked to your father. Now, he's no longer angry. So, the problem is finished." When God reminded me that story, and then the Lord asked me, "What did you do when your father's friend said that there is no more problem?" I said, "Well, I said thank you, went back home." He said, "Okay. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, were chased because of the sin. And now I sent Jesus so that people will be reconciled with me. So that if anyone accepts Jesus, I will forgive him and reconcile him with me. So now that you have accepted Jesus, now that you have become my child, what should happen?" I said, "Well, I should say thank you and then go back home." "Where is home?" "Home is not here." And then the question was, okay, if home is not here, and now that you have forgiven me, so why am I still here? I should go back home. And through some scriptures, God showed me that if when he forgave me, if when he reconciled himself to me, if when he made me his child, he left me here, it is for a purpose. And the purpose is to make disciples. So this is how we started making disciples. And we did a lot of mistakes. Until 2005, when we met with a brother who had developed a way to simply make disciples who reproduce. And I would like us to see a short video that explains the process. And then we will come back. So can you have the video now?
The last thing Jesus told his disciples to do was to go everywhere and teach everyone to obey everything he asked them to do. But how? How were 11 uneducated and unsophisticated Jewish men supposed to make disciples in all the different cultures and languages of the world? They had no money, no power, no organization, and no leader. And to make matters worse, they were outcasts in their own society and religion. The disciples didn't seem to have anything, and yet they changed everything. What they did have was a life-changing experience with Jesus, a willingness to simply obey, the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, and lots of contacts. What we call today a social network. Here's what happened. Everything started with prayer. Then came the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. After Pentecost, people visiting Jerusalem from faraway places went home and told their friends and family what God had done. And when those people passed on what they had experienced, the good news about Jesus spread like wildfire. Post-Pentecost social networking is how the gospel went viral. That was over 2,000 years ago. So how are we doing today? There is some good news and some not so good news. The good news, the number of Christians is increasing. The not so good news, the percentage of Christians is stuck. So what's the problem? And how can we solve it? The biggest issue seems to be that not all believers in Jesus are actually obedient followers of Jesus. The main job of being a disciple of Jesus is to make more disciples. But not many people are doing that today. In the first century, what created a spiritual revolution was disciples making disciples who made disciples. Dozens became hundreds, hundreds became thousands, and before too long, thousands had multiplied to millions. All because ordinary people simply obeyed what Jesus told them to do and taught those who responded to do the same. We think this is an idea whose time has come again. We call it disciple-making movements, or DMM for short. It's a movement because it can multiply naturally. So how do you start a disciple-making movement? It's actually very simple. The engine is what we call a discovery Bible study. Here's how a discovery Bible study works. As God reveals a leader within a community, a disciple-making coach helps them to form a group from among their friends and family. The group starts a process of direct interaction with God's Word. The format is simple. What does the passage say? What does it mean? What will I do in response? And finally, who can I tell so another group can start? Personal discovery, immediate obedience, and consistent replication are the launching pad for new movements. Every individual has a unique circle of influence. No two are exactly alike, but everybody's circle overlaps with many others. The intersection points are where movements take off. No matter what country, language, or culture, people share what is important to them with those they care about. Normally, when we dream about the future, we want to leave behind the old and embrace the new. But perhaps as we reimagine how to complete the Great Commission, we need to go back to how it all began. The early followers of Jesus turned the world upside down through simple obedience and natural networking. We're watching the same thing happen today. Since March 2005, City Team has documented over 1 million new followers of Jesus who joined the mosaic of nations, tribes, and tongues around the throne through our DMM process. That's a lot of disciples. Over 400,000 of these are Muslims who fell in love with Jesus. We believe that this is just the start of what God wants to do through unleashing the power of disciple-making movements. As it was in the beginning, it will be until the end. Ordinary people multiplying disciples in their natural networks is God's plan to complete the Great Commission. Disciple-making movements, an idea whose time has come again.
Thank you. Now what I would like to show is how this is working in the field. Can we go to the next slide? Okay. Well, here, I don't think you will see it, but the last 10 years, we have been able to start 28,200 churches. From October 2013 to September this year, 6,000 churches were started. And this is just what we are seeing is everywhere this simple approach is implemented, we see disciples multiplying. We talk about in the video the leader in the community. In the process, we call them the person of peace. When you read Luke 10, Jesus said, when you enter a house, you say, peace be upon you. And if there is a child of peace, your peace will remain on him. So when we go into the communities, the people we are looking for are this child of peace, the person of peace. Because when we find one, only one, it shows us that God is at work in this community. And if God is at work there, something will happen. And we also know that any person in any community has a network of relationships. So instead of going door to door to distribute tracts, instead of going door to door asking people, do you know Jesus? We look for the person of peace, and then when we have found one, we will use his network of relationship. And we know that any individual in his network has also his own network. So the person of peace, when he is found, we will ask him to start a discovery Bible study. And can he invite people he knows? And sometimes it will start with his family members, and then his friends, his colleagues. So discovery Bible study will start like that. Here we have some example of person of peace we found. There are all kinds. Sometimes we have even imams, people leading mosques who are person of peace in the community. And then when we have the person of peace, then we start what we call discovery Bible studies. Next slide, please. And this can, here it is in the rural area, so it can be in any setting, in homes, under a tree like here, anywhere where people can meet and study the Bible. Next, okay. So these discovery Bible studies will lead to the church, because the discovery Bible study is the process of discipleship. And people will make decision for Christ, and when they make decision, they will be baptized, and then they will start functioning as a local church, a local community. And because of what we have saw in the group, each one will replicate. So disciples are replicating, leaders are replicating, and the groups are replicating. And this is how we see a multiplication of churches. Next slide. This is 2 months ago. I was in Senegal because we are trying to we have started a process to reach out to North Africa. And this is, okay, these pictures are very sensitive. Because these people, if these pictures go out and people in the country see that, they will be killed. This is why I cannot do the training in the country. I have to take them out in another country to do the training. But I'm showing this picture so that you can pray for them. This is our leaders in Mauritania. And you see there is a picture where there are these young men around the table. At the end of the training, they came to me and they said, "Yunusa, look at us." So I look at them, and then they said, "We will change the spiritual mapping of our country." Just 4 young men. So if you can just remember these 4 young men to pray for them, so that what they said, God will honor that. Right now, the country, when you look at the statistics, they say 0% Christian. I know. And the people I work with know that it is not 0%. But it is too small to have an impact on the country. So please, pray not only for Mauritania, but for North Africa, so that movement of disciple will also start there. Next. Now I would like to share with you what is happening with DMM among street children in Abidjan. My wife started this ministry among street children when she was doing her master in psychology to help pastors, because there are a lot of pastors who come to her to ask for coaching and mentoring. And she decided that, okay, I need to do some studies in psychology so that I can be more effective in like helping people how to do counseling and so on. And during that time, she just decided to write a paper on street children in Abidjan. And what she saw by talking with these kids and talking with some of their parents just broke her heart, and she said, I will not do this only to write a paper. And she decided to help these kids. And we have a slide here. She's praying with them. So she will go out and find them where they are. She'll spend time with them. Sometimes some of them are sick. She will try to give some medicine. She will pray with them. In Cote d'Ivoire, next again, this is when she was presenting her paper. Next. In Cote d'Ivoire, there are more than 200,000 street children. You know that the country went through a 10-year war. And in Abidjan, where we live alone, there are more than 50,000 street children. And the reason why these kids are in the streets, on the next slide, they are orphans, they are poor families, victim of war, and dysfunctional families. So there are all kind of reasons why these kids come in the streets. And then the goal that Alfonsina and her team have is to make disciples among these kids, to train and coach some of them so that they can also make disciples of the street children. And then to bring healing from the wounds. All of them are wounded. And to bring back some of them home, take them out of the streets. You know, sometimes it is easy to take a child out of the street, but very difficult to take the street out of his heart. This is the difficult part. Next slide. Yeah. So we have, she's showing her, because people don't trust them. They say, this kid, they steal. So when she goes there, she will take her purse and she will give it to one of them. Say, okay, you keep it the whole time we are together. And he will keep it. And here, she was showing her bag. She said, you see, people say that you are stealing. And I gave you my bag, and we have spent hours together, and everything is inside. So what people are saying, it is not with you. So this is her way to help them change the way they see themselves. And the next slide, she will bring them together and talk to them. next slide, she is having a meal with them on the street. And then last year, 38 were baptized. And this is the day when they were baptized. Here, Alfonsine speaks a lot in churches, and every month she has a conference where pastors come and she will teach. And here, she will bring in the front row, these are the street kids. So she will bring them at that place. So that some of them, they have never been in a hotel meeting room. So it is an experience for them. So she will bring some of them in the meeting. And here there are some boys, but this is the place where the girls are, because there are two places. One place for the girl, one place for the boy. And next slide. They are doing Discovery Bible study. This is every morning they study the Bible in small groups. And next slide is, this is one place where during the day they come and they spend time together. So this is where her and her team, they will go and meet with them. And they will have a meeting in that place. Now there are a soccer team. Now I would like to tell you the story of three of them. One is Yannick Metio. This is the first day he was met. If you look at him, he has taken some drug. So he was not himself. The next slide, he is being baptized. The next slide, he spent 10 years in the street. And when Alphonsine met with him, she tried to find his family. And she found his father in another town. And then she asked him to come in Abidjan. And the day he came, she went with him and Yannick in a restaurant just to talk. So this was after 10 years. This was the first time Yannick was meeting his father. And the next slide, Yannick is back to school this year. The next slide, Jean Guillon is the boy between Alphonsine and the other lady. He also was in the street, and this is the day Alphonsine brought him back in his family. Ulrich, this is the day he was baptized. And Ulrich is one of the street kids that is being trained to go back in the streets and to make disciples of the street kids. So here he is speaking to a group of them. Here again, speaking to a group of them. And the next slide, we started a rabbit farm. Because if Ulrich want to do this ministry full time, there is no support for him. So he will have to do something to get some income and then make disciples among the street kids. So he is working in this rabbit farm so that he can get some income and then do the ministry. These are the outcomes so far since the ministry among the street kids was started. 38 have been baptized, 28 waiting to be baptized this month, January, when we go back. 13 have been brought back to the families. 5 have got jobs. 4 are back to school. 1 is being trained as a mechanic. And 14 boys are being taken care of in a center, and 15 girls in another center. Prayer requests. Wisdom from God, you know. Sometimes it is not easy to make decision, to make the right decision, making leaders. Sometimes you look someone, you say, oh, he will be a great leader. And then just a few weeks, you realize that it was a mistake. So we need wisdom to do what God has asked us to do. So please pray for us. Protection. The enemy doesn't like what we are doing, we know that. And he will try everything to discourage, to prevent us to do it. And sometimes I have to travel in very, very insecure places when it comes to Muslim. So pray for protection. Pray also for provision. For DMM among nations and street kids in Cote d'Ivoire, pray for health. transformation of life, because this is what you want to see. That, you know, when someone gives his life to Christ, his life must change. We must see transformation. And we don't want to see only transformation of individuals, but also families and communities. This is what we want to see. And we don't have time, but there are a lot of stories about communities who have been transformed because we went in, we found out the person of peace, we started Discovery Bible Studies, and a church was born, and the whole community was changed. Even in Sierra Leone, we have Muslim communities who send their leaders to our team to say, can you come and help us? Because they have seen the transformation in another community. So we want just to say that it is about God. So the all glory is to Him. And again, thank you for partnering with us. It is helping us do it. And for us, we are doing all of this together, even if we don't see each other every day. But we know that you are praying for us, and we receive your donation to support the ministry, to support the family, and we are very grateful for that. And may God bless you. And before going to sit down, I would like to pray. Lord, I want to thank you for everyone here. Thank you for your people in this building. Thank you for your church in this building. And thank you, Lord, for putting us together a few years ago. And since then, we have been working together. Since then, we have been, Lord, serving you together. And this morning, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with Alphonsine, to show what you are doing, so that together with your people here, we give you thanks and glory, because it is all about you, not us. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless your church here. I pray that you bless every family. And I pray that, Lord, you continue to do your work in our lives and through our lives, so that, Lord, your name, only your name, will be glorified in our lives, in our families. In Jesus' name, amen.